Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 17 and reading through verse 32. Thank you, Bill. Acts chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 17. Hear the reading of God's infallible, His inerrant word. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him, and when they came to him he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me a void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Please join me once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds that we may behold wondrous things from this, your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The idea of shepherd is a very familiar idea. I suppose one of the best known Psalms, the 23rd, speaks of the Lord as my shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ speaks of himself as the good shepherd who knows his sheep and his sheep follow him. He speaks of himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. But I want you to know that the scripture speaks of shepherding in broader terms than just God as our shepherd and Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. It seemed to me appropriate to speak about this in connection with the fact that we are receiving nominations and will be electing elders. In a few months, we're receiving nominations now. Now, you may ask, well, what does shepherd have to do with elders in the church? I'm so glad you asked. I want you to look at this passage with me for a few minutes this morning. First of all, we want to start with the names that are used in this passage in Acts chapter 20. three names I want to call to your attention, and I hope you have your Bibles open and you'll follow along with me. First we see in verse 17, now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said this, and we have this speech. So he sends for the elders of the church and they come. The Greek word that's used here is presbyteroi. Plural of presbyter, the elders. He calls for those elders to come to him. They're the leaders in the church. That's the first term. And then I want you to drop down, and when these men come, I want you to see what he says. In verse 28, he gives this exhortation. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. That's in verse 26. I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Greek word for that is episkopoi. It sounds like our word for episcopal. As a matter of fact, in the King James Version, it's translated as bishop. The Greek word, really there are two words, epi, over, and think of scoping something out. If a kid say, we're going to scope something out, or think of a telescope or a microscope, it's seeing something, and so it's often translated overseeing. And here is the responsibility. These elders have a responsibility to oversee, to care, to have oversight for the flock. And then that leads to the third idea that's used, the third word that's used. Actually, it's used several times here. In this verse, he talks about the flock, and then he goes on, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. And that word to care for is a different variation of that same word, flock. Caring for the flock. As a matter of fact, in the New International Version, it says to shepherd the flock. Actually, there are three different words in the Greek. There's one for the flock. And then, based on that same word, another form, there is caring for the flock. And then there's another word, a little different, and it is the one who does that caring for the flock, and he is the shepherd. So you have the flock, the caring for the flock, and the one who does the caring for the flock. And notice that this also is part of what's going on here. And by the way, the same word is used elsewhere. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, where again, Peter is addressing the elders as a fellow elder. And what does he say? He says that you are shepherds of the flock. So he uses the word for the one who does this shepherding. All three of these ideas are applied to the same people. These elders come and he says, you have the responsibility to oversee the flock, to care for the flock, to shepherd the flock, to be shepherds of the flock. And by the way, the English form of that word for shepherd is sometimes translated to pastor the flock. Pastoral word, pastoral care. And maybe you say, well, okay, that's all right, all of these Greek words, all of these technical things, but this is a special case in Ephesus. If you think that, I would encourage you to turn back to chapter 14 in Acts at your leisure this afternoon and see what Paul does when he's going on his missionary journeys. He and Barnabas had gone on the missionary journeys and he had gone to various cities, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe. He had gone and he had problems. Basically, he had been run out of those cities. One time he even got stoned. But at the end of that, what does he do? Well, the Acts tells us that he goes back to establish, to encourage the Christians in those places. And what does he do? Well, it tells us they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations they must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So here was a pattern for Paul. He saw these officers, and whatever you want to call them, you've got your choice of the words, and you might even choose other words, but the words that he used are not so important as the fact that they had this responsibility. And that leads me to a second thing that I see in this passage: the needs of the flock. Not only the names of these people, but the needs. Why was Paul addressing them and emphasizing what they were to do? Well, again, we have it in this passage here. He says that after I'm gone, savage wolves will come into the flock and they will try to do harm. And so you are to keep watch over the flock. You are to take care. You are to be diligent, because there are those who will try to harm the flock. So it was their responsibility to protect the flock from those false teachers who would try to come in. There's a responsibility there. Just as a shepherd had a responsibility to protect the sheep from savage wolves that would come in, Paul is saying these officers in the church, they have a responsibility to protect the flock from false teaching, from spiritual wolves that would come in and do harm to the flock. And by way of application, I would suggest that he's talking about more than just blatant heresy. You see, we have the world that's subtly trying to do that, by subtle means all the time, trying to influence Christians to somehow combine the gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation by faith through grace, by grace through faith alone, with some kind of performance religion. And we have our own tendencies of trying to regard ourselves in a self-righteous way rather than relying upon Jesus Christ and the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it is the leaders of the church that are to bring us back and remind us over and over and over again, day in and day out, year in and year out, that the gospel, as Paul speaks here of his preaching the gospel, it's the gospel of God's grace. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of human achievement. It's the gospel of what Jesus Christ came and did for us, and our dependence upon Him, not just at the beginning of the Christian life, at the end of the Christian life, but everywhere and for everything in between. That's what Paul is saying. That's the needs of the flock. Remind us, encourage us, strengthen us. Now, when we are tempted with these things, when we're tempted to go astray, when we're tempted to water down the gospel, when we're tempted to look to techniques, or we're tempted to look to ourselves, what's God's remedy? Well, of course, the remedy is what Paul says here. The remedy is the gospel of grace. The remedy is the gospel that he preached of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't let us off the hook. You say, well, God's remedy is God and the gospel and God's grace. But we are responsible for one another to share that gospel, to teach that gospel, to encourage by means of that gospel. Not just saying, oh, you can do it. No, God can do it by His grace in you. Not just saying, oh, you're really good. No. God God is doing good in you by His grace. We are to speak the gospel and pray the gospel and comfort with the gospel of grace and encourage with the gospel of grace and remind one another of the gospel of grace and, yes, solve our problems with the gospel of grace. That's our responsibility. And particularly the leaders in the church have that responsibility. That leads me to the third thing that I want to say. The nature of this care, and it is a pastoral care. It is not administrative decisions, no matter how good, how wise, how expedient. Those things have their place. And yet, you can't read through this passage without seeing the pastoral nature of what Paul is saying. He refers to his own example of how he preached and he went from house to house, how he was diligent. We see his diligence in verse 31. For 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. There's the example for the elder. A diligence, and I might say also a tender heart, weeping, admonishing, counseling and encouraging the flock. I think also it was centered in God's Word. We see in verse 32, and I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the saints. God's grace and God's word. The leaders in the church are to be grounded in God's word. It's not that they're just friendly fellows. Well, that's good, that's helpful. But it's that they are grounded in God's word. They are permeated by God's word, and that comes out. It was a selfless service. Verse 33, the next verse, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. It's not for gain, not selfish, but selfless. And then in the part of that, we can go back and say it was well balanced. He said in verse 27, I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the whole counsel of God. He didn't pick what was easy or what he thought the people would like. He drew from the balanced care and feeding of all God's word. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes a person needs comfort or encouragement. Sometimes a person may need exhortation. Sometimes a person needs correction. That's the balance of God's Word, the totality of the gospel centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to the other thing that I want to say in regard to the nature of shepherding care, it is Christ-centered. And I want to emphasize this. If you've kind of tuned out, would you tune back in for the conclusion? Because I think we have a tendency to say, okay, well, this is good and fine. There may be some differences in the church about, the government of the church and the way they handle these matters. But really, that's not all that important. It's just an incidental matter. And I've said that there's some parts that, yes, you can have different names, you can have some differences in the way this is done, but I want to tell you this is not an incidental matter. It is Christ-centered. What are these people doing? They are keeping the focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, on Jesus Christ Himself. That's not incidental. That's their responsibility in a very special way. That's important. That's crucial to the life of the church. It's Christ motivated. Why are they to do this? Because they are caring for the flock purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we all ought to keep that in mind, but particularly those who are charged with the oversight of the flock, that these are God's people, precious in God's sight, so precious that He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. That ought to be in our hearts and our minds, and that ought to be our goal as we minister to one another to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, it's not just that the focus is upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the motivation is in the Lord Jesus Christ because the flock is His flock, purchased with His blood, but also the work is the work of Christ. We didn't read because I'm trying to keep the sermon today a little shorter than usual, but if we were to read in 1 Peter 5, there, the similar exhortation from Peter as he's telling those elders that they are to shepherd the flock, not for selfish gain, but in a selfless way, not lording them over, but in a servant way. And then, what does he say? He says, we're going to give account. Whose work is that? He says, you're the shepherd, but there's somebody else that's shepherding. And in that passage, he refers to Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. It's Christ's work. And that's why we're concerned, and that's why we see this as a part of the life of the church. You see, the church is not just an association of solitary Christians, but it is the body of Christ, the flock of Christ. And we are to care for one another. And the elders, the shepherds, are to do that work under Jesus Christ Himself. They are doing the work of Christ for His glory, by His power, and keeping the focus ever, not on themselves and their authority, but upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need what Christ has provided. We all need those that Christ has equipped by His Holy Spirit. I want to ask you as the congregation to pray for the shepherds of this flock. Encourage your elders. Let us seek to be a flock experiencing the spiritual provision and protection and encouragement and care of faithful shepherds. That doesn't come automatically, or just because we've got a certain name or certain names on a piece of paper. That only comes by God's grace as we are committed to do and to be what God has called us as His church, the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Oh Father, we thank You that Your word always brings us back to the central thing, Jesus Christ and the gospel of His grace. Oh Father, may we see this in every aspect of the life of our church, keeping Jesus central, having Him as our motive and our goal, our enabler and empower. Oh Father, We pray for those who are leaders in the church and those that you will raise up to be leaders. Care for your people, those purchased with the precious blood of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and by faith receive God's blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen. You're invited to stay for the congregational meeting, but if you need to leave, you may do so now. Should have received a copy of the budget in the mail this past week, but if you would like to see a copy of that, if you'd raise your hand, one of our ushers will get a copy of that to you. They're in the narthex. All right. Raise those hands up where Guy and others can see you. Again, if you have detailed or technical questions, the officers can help you with that. But we want to have an opportunity to present the budget to the congregation generally. Let's begin this congregational meeting with prayer. Father, we thank you for your provision in the life of this congregation. We thank you that we may support this work with our giving. Guide us now and in the days ahead. For Jesus' sake, amen. All right, the congregational meeting is called to order. We've had a prayer. This is the budget that has gone through the budget committee and has gone through the deacons and the elders. And it is for your information. But if you have questions or comments, that's invited now. Anybody with questions or comments? Any elder that needs to give some word, or a deacon that needs to give some special word of insight or explanation that you've been saving for the congregational meeting? All right, I'm not going to prolong this meeting. If you don't have questions, or just remember the fact that you didn't feel like standing up today doesn't mean you've lost your chance. If you have some question later on, let us hear from you. You can call the church office. Chances are the pastor will not have the answer, because I'm not in charge of the budget, but I can get you to someone who does have the answer. So feel free to call the church office or just speak to one of the officers in the church. All right. If there's no one seeking the floor, I'm going to close our meeting with prayer. Let me just say something that's completely off subject, but I've tried to give some updates along. We are closing in on having someone to be able to present or to have someone as the assistant pastor. A number of things are happening simultaneously. A final package offer, a meeting of the candidate with our credentials committee of presbytery, and this has all happened in the last week and a half, and the meeting with the credentials committee is this Tuesday. So if you would pray that that would go well. His being examined, he took a written exam on Friday. He's meeting with the committee on Tuesday, and those are all necessary steps for a candidate to go through before we may hire someone and have someone. And so please pray for the candidate and pray for the session and all of the final things that we need to do with that candidate. It's been a long wait. I know some of you feel like that we've been dragging our feet or not much has happened because it's taken so long. I'm mindful of that. Let me tell you that there have been a lot of steps in dealing with over 40 candidates with 10 to 20 pages of written material on each candidate. And guess what? Someone gets to read all of that stuff. Well, we won't go there. I'm going to stay on a positive note. We think that we're getting to the final stretch. Please pray. And we think we'll have something to announce to the congregation very, very soon. Let's be dismissed with prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, your grace, your mercy, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for visitors who were here this morning. We pray that we would be responsive to visitors, that you would draw others to this congregation, that together we might share in the calling of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.